Hello and welcome to this installment of Regarding ID, the podcast series. I'm your host, Chris Corum, editor of Avizian Publications, and today we're talking about a new aviation credential that doesn't secure the access of passengers to the airports, but rather the access of employees from both the airport locations and the air carriers that fly into those locations. It's a biometric credential that the Transportation Security Administration is considering to secure those facilities and tie the identity of the employee who's been granted access to these secure facilities, to tie them via a biometric to that credential. So closely aligned with the transportation worker identification card and the government credential that goes by the name of FIPS 201 or HSPD-12, and yet it's a different project that the TSA is working on here. Chris Rundy is the program manager for TSA for this ACES program, as it's called, the Aviation Credential Interoperability Solution. And we had the opportunity to hear from Chris at a recent event.
It is a biometric identity solution for the entire aviation community. The main focus is airport workers and airline workers. We are looking to be FIPS 201 interoperable. The term is thrown about. We're certainly not compatible. We're not federal government entities, and there's a number of interests within the airport community that would prevent us from going completely with FIPS 201, especially in the look and feel of the card. Additionally, we have legacy airport access control systems that need to be migrated. We have to take that in consideration as well. But we are looking to be FIPS 201 aligned. We are leveraging much of what's in FIPS as well as what we've seen through TWIC and other solutions. Like I said before, the processes that underline the biometric usage, that is an area where we want to make immediate enhancements, because currently the airports are left to their own devices on how they capture the information. Of course, they do have standards they use. Airport badging offices, which have FBI-approved live scan devices, et cetera. But in terms of ID verification, data capture, data retention, that is not standardized currently. And that's something that we're looking to do even in the short term through some of our other policy vehicles that are available. So we're also looking for interoperability, not within just within the aviation community, but also outside. So we're looking at the TWIC, FRAC, HSPD-12, so that if an aviation worker needs to authenticate at another facility, or more likely, if someone with a TWIC card needs to get into an airport, these readers should be able to read that card rather than having to issue a separate card for the individual.
So it's clear that interoperability is a key here. As Chris stated, these airports around the country are using all kinds of different credentialing systems, some biometric-based, some not, and those that are using biometrics are not tied to one standard, either in their collection of data or their enrollment of people into the systems. As we've seen with the Registered Traveler Program and others, the interoperability is key so that you can use that credential at various airports as you travel around as a passenger. But similarly, it's key if you're traveling around as an air carrier, an employee for one of the airlines that flies in and out of other airports. Chris gave a great example of how this is important, of why this is important, and how it ties into the ACES concept.
Currently, if you want a badge at IAD, you're going to have to go through the full vetting process. So then you go to BWI, you're going to do the same thing. We want to make it so that it is person-centric. So we do the vetting once, and we do it perpetually. And that's another component and key concept in here. If you're vetted once, we will be continuing to watch you until you are out of our population. And when we say watch you, the primary focus is terrorist activity. So if something pops up and we notice that you're no longer a good guy, we want the ability to act upon that. And that comes back to our next point, which is certificate revocation. So we want the ability of the government, if they identify a threat, to revoke the card globally. So, and remotely. So at the flick of a switch, we can say, oh, you're no longer able to use this card. And we also are looking at it locally. So if a card is revoked for reason at IAD, we would want BWI to know about it as well.
When you consider that the tragedies of 9/11 began in our airport environments, it's surprising that it's taken this long for this program to get the attention that it's now receiving. But there have been standards in place for credentials in the airline industry. It's just that they've been a bit weaker than necessary in today's environment. Chris went on to describe these standards and the current state and tell us a little bit about the weaknesses there and why this ACES program really is necessary.
The card look and feel, they have specifications around what the IDs, the picture size should look like and some data elements that must be on there. They also dictate for the airports some performance parameters around access controls. So they're not specifying what they have to use, but they say that there are minimum areas that they have to cover. So with that, the point of that is we really haven't defined any use of biometrics in the regulation right now, but we are looking to do that. In the Aviation Transportation Security Act, that was established after 9/11, they explicitly call out the use of biometric access controls as something that needs to be done in the near future. We've been moving towards that, and ACES is a step to get us there by unifying a credential, biometric credential that is, and also providing enhanced interoperability between airports, because currently there is a wide disparity between the airports. So aside from the minimum standards, all the airports can issue cards that look and feel whatever way they like, and they are very adamant about that and their autonomy in that area. So not only do they issue their own cards, they also maintain their physical access control systems, and they do it to whatever standards that they can meet. So for instance, a very small airport is not likely to institute a biometric access control at this point in time, but for larger airports like Boston, they've already implemented biometric access controls around all of their perimeter. So there's just a wide variety of what you're going to see out in the airport community, and what we're trying to do through ACES is provide a common platform, not only for the airports, for the air carriers.
If you travel in airports, you've likely seen the airline employees walking around with either a necklace with 15 or 20 different cards on it, or some kind of a key ring with a whole slew of cards. As Chris points out, these have been used for them to get into all of the common airports that they fly through and to. So it certainly would be a great thing for them to have this standardized credential that would work across the board. There's other reasons that it's important for air carriers, as Chris describes.
We find the same thing across the industry. Each airline has its own look and feel for the cards. And on an airport-by-airport basis, those air carrier employees can show this card to gain access to the footprint of the aircraft and limited areas of the side area. So this introduces a complexity to the security of the airports, because it's hard to say if an airport-issued card really is legit. The authentication is rudimentary. It's face-on-face, and there's little assurance that the person holding the card is actually the person who they say they are. So We are looking to enhance that through ACES.
An identity management and credentialing project like this of such a large scope is never easy to pull off, but especially when it involves the federal government, that adds complexity there. So we've got private organizations, we've got lobbying, we've got federal government, we've got legislative issues and rulemaking, funding. There's all kinds of things that are going to have to happen to make this ACES program a reality. Chris is optimistic, but he does describe some of these hurdles that he sees coming up as the process moves forward.
To mandate biometric access controls at airports, we have to go through a full rulemaking, because this is a very financially significant effort for airports to basically dig up their existing physical access controls and replace it with biometric access controls. So if we're looking at 450 airports, I think we're looking on the range of $1 billion+ for this type of effort. Right now we're trying to figure out how that fits with the timeline. We are faced with the challenge of the change in administration. So we're really in sort of a fluid environment. We're making progress. But in the meantime, we are looking at leveraging other vehicles we have, like security directives, that can enhance security, specifically in the areas perhaps enrollment. If we can ask the airports to collect identity documentation through these security directives, we're giving them a heads up of what we're looking for on ACES once this process comes to be. So there's a lot of planning in progress and a lot of decisions that are probably going to be made in the next few months on the total direction of the program. But without rulemaking, we're trying to figure out how a enterprise-wide interoperable solution could really take effect. And that sort of segues into the next point is industry is already moving forward with this. The American Association of Airport Executives has developed a consortium of willing and able airports that want to do biometrics and they want to make it interoperable. So what we're looking to do is partner with those groups and potentially do some pilots of the interoperability for biometric cards. And then another thing to note is we still do not have funding, so that makes it a little bit tough to make too much progress. So that said, it does have a lot of interest. We are getting some monies under the 9/11 Act, and we hope to be getting those soon.
So there you have it, a review of the Aviation Credential Interoperability Solution that's under consideration by the TSA. As I said, it makes a lot of sense on the face to those in the identity community and the credentialing community to secure and create that interoperable specification between airports, but it's never an easy thing to pull off. While it would take a much smarter or more politically attuned mind than mine to understand why the TWIC credential didn't make sense in the aviation community, we'll have to leave that for others to fill you in on. But it is at least encouraging to hear that another organization is looking at the work that's already been done by FIPS 201, TWIC, and other credentialing programs and trying to build upon the basis there. So I think it moves all of our programs ahead. Another thing that we'll look into in the near future is the new HSPD 24 discussion that's recently emerged that looks to create some standardized methodologies around the use of biometrics in all federal credentials. So that may come into play here with ACES as well. So stay tuned. We'll talk about that in one of the upcoming sessions. And thanks for joining us. And thanks to Chris Rundy, Program Manager for ACES with the TSA.